Okay, so let's get started. It's a little bit past 1:30. I want to let everybody know that the session, it is going to be, it's a public session. We are going to be recording the session, just audio, no video. The idea is to put it then on the website so everybody can access all of the comments. And if they have more things to add, obviously that they can actually do that afterwards. It is also important, you're not going to see me taking notes. Please don't think that your opinion is not important. I'm actually going to rely on the audio recordings afterwards to pass this information to the search firm and the rest of the committee. We are going to be doing this in all of the public forums. So in our, as I said, you know, many times, for us, the main goal is to make sure that this process is as inclusive and comprehensive as possible. This is Iowa State's president. This is a president for all of us. And actually, what that person will be doing will have a great impact, not only in our immediate community in Ames, but I think in the state and the country in general. So that's why it's very important for us to take as many opinions as possible. I probably should introduce myself first. My name is Luis Rico Gutierrez. I serve as Dean of the College of Design here at Iowa State. And I'm one of the co-chairs for the search committee. Let me tell you a little bit what we are going to be doing today. As I said before, the idea is to get all your input to figure out how we're going to craft the story of this position. Ultimately, the charge of the committee is to find a set of really amazing candidates for the position of president of this institution. And we need to really understand a few things. What is there to do? Why is this an attractive place to go? What are the, you know, every challenge is at the same time an opportunity, and we want to understand that. Why will somebody come here and help us move forward some of those agendas is very important to know. Once we talked a little bit about that, we also want to know, then what are the right attributes for somebody that can actually advance those agendas? And I would like to hear from you a little bit about that when we begin the session. And then later on, a very general question about why will somebody come here? And in this particular case, I'm really looking forward for input on why the job is attractive, but also, as I found myself when I moved here, why moving into Iowa is the right move for somebody, for a family, for somebody who will come with other people. It's also important for us to capture that. This will result in, obviously, a job description that will be published in many different outlets, trying to reach as many different audiences as possible. But it's also going to become part of a document, a more extensive document that is going to be presented to all candidates, that is going to have a lot of details of why it is, as I said in my report to the Board of Regents the other day, why I believe that this is probably one of the best president's positions open in the country right now, why this is a good place to be a president. I do have to say, we were talking about this before I go on, running a presidential search is a complicated task. So I really want to thank in public, you know, to everybody in this university, all staff, all faculty, all students, because, you know, just making sure that we have water in the room, you know, it is something that needs to be done by somebody, scheduling all these meetings, scheduling the room, making sure that the search firm gets here and moves from one meeting to the other. There is a great deal of logistics. And believe me, it's not me, it's not the co-chair, even in front of the committee members, it's not the committee. There is actually a great number of people that is trying to make this run as smoothly as possible. But once that I said that, you know, I do want to recognize the members of the search committee that are here in the room today. And before I make any mistakes, why don't I just ask you to raise your hands, if that is possible? So we have 2, 3, 4 members of the search committee with us. This is important for me. Yes, we're going to be recording the session, but the fact that they are here and they can actually see the context is going to be very important when we begin to craft the story. You're going to see that there are 3 micros and 3 seats here. One is, I think, for me, but the other 2 are empty. And I have to let you know that AUB AGB search, the consultants that are working with us in this search, they are delayed. It's not unusual, so they're in a tarmac somewhere. I think, well, they should be already flying from Atlanta to here. They've been really delayed since this morning. They probably will come in the middle of the session, but as I said, this is being recorded and this is going to be part of the thing that they will capture at the end. I think we're fortunate to have that firm. AGB stands for Association of Government Bodies, and that means that it's the association of all the government bodies of public universities around the country. They have their professional organization, they do a lot of activities, and one of the things that they do is they can assist institutions in finding leaders for different positions. It was not just assigned, this was a competitive process, and they came with the best qualifications for this job, so I'm really happy. So far, it's been a great relationship for us. Okay, so any questions so far about the process? And if not, I'm going to probably get started with a few questions for everybody. To make sure that every comment is properly captured, I'm going to ask everybody who wants to say something to come forward and speak directly to the microphone, if that's okay. So if there's no questions so far, as I said at the beginning, I think that every challenge is, and before I continue, I want to recognize Ann Campbell, mayor of the city, you know, for being here. Thank you very much. I mentioned, not because you're here, but I do have to say, last week I was asked, should we speak with more people outside of the Iowa State community to speak with people in the city of Ames? And I do remember a former president of another institution that I used to know very well. He used to say that the future of an educational institution is intimately linked to the future of the community that is right next to it, and vice versa. The future of that community is linked to the future of the educational institution. I really, truly believe that Iowa State, to be successful, really needs to rely on the people of Iowa, the people of Ames. So, anyway, now let me pose the question. So, what are the challenges and opportunities that we're facing in the next 5 to 10 years? What do you think needs to be present in our minds when we think about bringing somebody to work with us to address these issues? So, who wants to begin? I'm pretty sure we all can actually think about challenges and opportunities. So, you're going to tell me there's a, please. That's good. And by the way, let me tell you, I like teaching, and in my experience, 90% of the A's tend to be in the first two rows of the classroom. So I'm not sure about today, I have to say. Okay.
James Tiener from the music department. It seems to me that the current political situation in Des Moines, although we're not real sure what the current administration is going to do, it's obvious that that something has been going on with the taxes and what and the amount of money we're able to get in, and the region's universities and colleges keep getting cut. Seems to me that the person who comes in is going to have to be politically savvy and also be willing to stand up for, be prepared to stand up politically for education and for the students here. I am very concerned that that the president who comes not be willing to just accept what's going on, but be willing to stand up, I mean really stand up, and let their voice be heard, get on their hind legs and talk, and go to the people of power, be willing to walk into any office down there that needs to be gone into, Republican, Democrat, the whole thing. And so that would be one of the major challenges, is to try to keep our budget in line so that at least we don't have to charge for an exorbitant amount for tuition, and that faculty like me and others can continue to get raises, and that people who, that the departments can continue to keep their budgets in line so that we can actually be an educational institution.
So basically the relationship between policy and budgets of the university, somebody that is can talk to those issues, is what the comment is about. Okay, I think that's a big deal. We've heard in many of the sessions, the issue of budgets. I think it's an issue not only here but in many parts around the country. So, thank you. There was another hand up in the air, and yes.
That was my question. I would have had it worded differently, but that's my point. So.
Okay, so same issue. Okay, what else? Money is very important, but I'm pretty sure there are other things that we need to consider. So.
Actually, I'm going to turn this around, if that's okay.
Sure.
There's more people out this direction than there are. All right, I'm Ann Oberhauser, and I'm a faculty member in sociology and also director of the Women's and Gender Studies program. And this is only I've just concluded my second year here at ISU. It's a great place. I really am loving Ames and also ISU. One of the issues that I see as a real challenge is the increasing enrollment and the capacity of the institution, the town, the roads, you know, all of this to handle this increasing enrollment as we're reaching 37,000 and what, 8 or 10 years ago it was in the mid-20s. So I think that the rapid increase in enrollment is really causing a stress on kind of the infrastructure and the kind of social capacity of the institution.
So finding the right balance between resources, human and physical, and the number of students that we have is an issue. Is that correct?
Enrollment's going up partly because of, not that the, you know, population is booming in Iowa necessarily, but because of the tuition and the budgetary demands. But there's got to be a different way or a better way of bringing in that additional revenue and meeting the needs of the increased enrollment and student population.
Yeah. This fits the criteria that I was talking. I mean, it's a challenge that is at the same time an opportunity. I mean, it's great that we have the demand. You know, that is a huge challenge that needs to be addressed. You know, it's also an opportunity, you know, to make a mark. So, great. And
well, thank you. I've already been introduced by your chair here. I'm Ann Campbell, the mayor of Ames. And I appreciate this opportunity to come and address this subject today as the search committee is going to start its vetting. I know that the search committee is made up of people that are within the university, but I am here to indicate how important this is. This decision is going to be for not just the Iowa State University, but for the state of Iowa, and certainly for the city of Ames. I'm sure, as the search committee knows, we are a community of roughly 60,000 people, more than half of which are Iowa State University students. So we are a company town, and that does certainly impact how the community operates. Ames and Iowa State University have certainly had the reputation of the two entities being able to work hand in glove on any number of concerns and issues and cooperative efforts over its history, frankly. But I think it's really important to note that now I look upon this as being at a real watershed time when where we go from here is going to make a big difference, certainly for the university, but for the community. As is pointed out, it's no secret that the enrollment has grown exponentially, and frankly, this has had a huge impact and challenge on the city of Ames. We can cheer about the new numbers, but there is indeed a side that causes us to have challenges. I'll mention a couple of them. Housing. Only a fraction of the Iowa State students can live on campus, and so it's the community that has been absorbing the rest of them. And it's no secret, if you travel around and look at the periphery of Ames, you see the mushrooming of apartment buildings that are by and large student apartments, and generally with no supervision. For neighborhoods, particularly those neighborhoods close to the university, we've seen landlords and families of students buying up the least expensive houses in a neighborhood, and thus having having dormitories, in fact, move into what have otherwise been single-family housing areas. We've seen schools close, neighborhoods change dramatically as a result of that. So that's one issue that concerns me. One of the areas in which Iowa State and the city of Ames and the government of the student government now have worked cooperatively and had nationwide recognition has been in the birth and evolution of CyRide. CyRide started out and still is funded and managed by Iowa State University Administration, by the government of the student body, and the city of Ames. However, good news can be too much good news in that right now we are anticipating upwards of 70 million riders in this fiscal year. I don't need to diagram the sentence to say that that is going to present challenges both in serving the needs as well as the route system. And then land use. Iowa State is a big property owner, not only here on Central Campus, but throughout the city and the county. This is run by the state. It's managed by the state. City has no control, if you will, over that. Not that we are asking for control, but I think that we do need to look at land use decisions that are made on campus and in the city as something that we need to do jointly. The city is just in the process of kind of restarting its land use policy plan development. We are very hopeful that the next president will see this as a very important high priority role for the next president to take, so that Ames can continue to be the kind of place where students' families like yours want to come and make it home. So these are my thoughts that I share on behalf of the city.
Thank you very much. And I do understand how important they are. We are on purpose taking one of these sessions outside of campus. We're going to Main Street to try to capture as many residents of the city as possible to hear more about this. Okay, Mr. Fleming.
My name is John Fleming, and I'm a neighbor of the mayor's. So in my volunteer work this past year, I've had the opportunity to meet with every dean on campus for at least an hour and meet with every constituent unit lead on campus for at least an hour. And I was profoundly impressed by the camaraderie and teamwork that is present on this campus. It's my understanding that's pretty rare in the academy these days to have such a cohesive and well-running team that reports to the president's office. So while this may be an opportunity for the new president to be creative, I do think there would be challenges, and it would give me pause that the new person might try to recreate the wheel here. And I do think that somebody needs to make sure that we kind of tap on the brakes a little bit about overhauling our current system, because I think this is a team that works extraordinarily well together, and I think it's very important that we maintain that. So,
thank you. And I can attest to that. I mean, this is a really... particularly in my cohort, the groups of deans communicate very well. It's, I think, a bit unusual. Please.
Hi, I am Shannon Foote. I'm one of the vice presidents at the Alumni Association. I just wanted to follow up a little bit with what John had said as it relates to the team efforts here at Iowa State University. Each of the different college units, as well as the different campus units and how we are structured, I would want the new president to take a look at how that model is and see if that is a successful model as it relates to each of our individual units having multiple responsibilities related to fundraising, recruitment, marketing initiatives, as well as alumni relations. So from that perspective, that would be one of the things that I would hope for, so that we're not diluting our messages and our efforts to our constituents and creating a more cohesive and united communication strategy.
Perfect. Great. Other challenges? There are more things going on in campus. We have, I can just think about, you know, conversations I had with several of you, you know, from issues of classroom, faculty. Any more things that you want to bring forth?
Thank you, Luis. I'm Carol Custer, Director of University Marketing, and I have a list.
Good.
Okay. Well, first of all, you know, I'm the brand lady, so everything we do, I have tried for 28 and a half years based on President Eaton's hiring of me to help this university speak with one voice. Okay, remember that. Speak with one voice. So for all of this time that I have been Director of University Marketing, we have tried to have that opportunity. People who are in other organizations would just die for the opportunities we have, even though we are a very decentralized university, to be able to, if we all marshal our resources and speak with one voice, we will be very, very effective. You've seen that. I call it effective when we talk about increased enrollment. That doesn't just happen, and it takes a lot of commitment. It takes a lot of understanding where our stresses are as a result. But our brand is that this university is a major research institution that operates on a personal scale. We are welcoming. Students here have a soft landing when they come. We all look at them as individuals. They have opportunities to grow both in their academic understanding as well as in their out-of-classroom experience. We are known across the nation for having the most student-centered public research university in the nation. It's in our water. We did research way back in 87 and 88. And all of the things that people talk about what makes Iowa State special are the same characteristics that we did in 2010. And so that means that we hire the kind of people who are committed to the student experience. We get the right kinds of students who want to learn in an environment of students first. We have the programs, not only academic programs, but the support services here to help our students, and that's the kind of person I think we need to have as our next president. He or she needs to understand how important this brand is, and whatever we do has to continue that momentum, because that's who we are. I have the best job in the world because I didn't have to help invent some new kind of brand. We all pull the same, we all row the same way, we all pull things in the same direction, so I'm very hopeful that the next person understands that that is our brand, and whatever we need to do to maintain that is what will be that person's first and foremost mission. The other thing that we go from president to president, and each of them has their own kind of way of looking about the horizon that we're in. Even though we have a strategic plan, each president seems to do things that he feels is important for the time. So we have had people who have said, we really need to be the university for Des Moines. When people think of a big research institution that can serve the interests of Des Moines, it needs to be us. And so we went down that road, and we did things to help make sure that the Des Moines market knew that we were the place. We were the place to come to do partnerships. We were the place to send students. We were the place to do educational opportunities for students in Des Moines. Then we had a president who said, I don't care about that. So we dropped that. Okay, then we have a president who comes on and says, I really want to have us have a national prominence. Well, that was what Gordon Eaton said three presidents ago. And so when President Leith came, he wanted this to have national prominence. So we stir the pot and we start and do all these things to help build a national prominence. Well, national prominence will get you all kinds of things. And President Leith understood that if we need to maintain and get our name associated with leading institutions, helps us with AAU rankings, helps us with any kind of external rankings. We dropped out of the top 50 in U.S. News and World Report. That's not a good place for Iowa State to be. We need to get back up into the top 50. So I again, how this next president looks at that kind of whether or not a national reputation should be part of what we do. Extension is another big part. Extension, the next president has to understand that we are leaders in extension programming across the nation, and you don't want to mess with that kind of organization that is doing that. We don't have a leader of extension right now, so there's opportunities for us to really build on that, as well as challenges if a president or the next leader of extension doesn't see it that way. Cultivation corridor, that was a big deal with this president, and how that cultivation corridor continues will be important for economic development, for the research park, all the kinds of research programming we have out there, the startup companies, all of that. I think those will be major things that this next president needs to have a philosophy about and be committed to whatever he or she thinks. I am a little concerned from the university standpoint. We talked about national prominence and we talked about Destination 2050 and the kinds of research that we do here that put us up into the national prominence category. President Leith supported those major areas with funding. To help those cross-disciplinary institutes do their thing. And I would hope that the next president continues that kind of support. What we have here at Iowa State is our programming for increasing student numbers has taken 10 years. Okay, that's 10. That's not just like 2 years ago, somebody says, oh, let's increase enrollment. It takes a lot of time to build that awareness out in the marketplace for why what we do. And if we want to have national prominence, it doesn't happen just in a year or two. You have to be committed to it for a long time for programs that will build that awareness for Iowa State. And so I hope that the next president, I would really like it to be a current sitting president for once. I don't know if we can do it or not, but it seems like if we have this reputation, it seems like somehow we should be able to get a sitting president from another university who understands these kinds of things, that we don't have to do a president in training. It would be nice to get someone who has an uptick and knows exactly how to work with faculty, how to work with the people of Des Moines, how to work with people of all across Iowa, how to work with the legislature, you know, that has that chutzpah of understanding how important higher education is to its students and to our communities and to our state and to our world. I think that we should be able to attract someone of that ilk, because we are great. We all know that we are fairly humble in how we talk about ourselves. There is nothing that cuts it to my core more than someone just saying, oh, you're the best kept secret, because we're trying so hard to get the word out about how good we really are. It impacts the kind of faculty we hire. It impacts the kinds of faculty who stay. It impacts the kinds of students who come. And it impacts the kinds of partnerships that we get out in the with public-private partnerships in industry. So I'm hoping that a president will come and not think he or she has to fix us, that they know more about how to make a university achieve than what we have already done. I think some of that's been talked about teamwork that we already have. Seems like sometimes we get a leader in who thinks that we don't know much and that things have to be changed all around in order for us to be accomplishing what we do. We're pretty darn good at what we do, and we've survived a lot of presidents, and we seem to still have the same kinds of wonderful students who become wonderful alumni, who become wonderful donors, who are committed to sports, who are committed to academics, committed to diversity. And I just think we have an opportunity here to build on what the past presidents have helped us achieve.
Great. Thank you. I find that it is a very interesting balance what we're trying to do as we invite somebody to find their his or her adventure at Iowa State University as a president. It will be a test for a strategic plan. I actually think that we're in a very good position because the plan is ambitious and is broad enough that can actually accommodate a great deal of detailed development under that umbrella. But we need to recognize that if somebody comes here, we'll come here, if they are, as you said, you know, sitting presidents or in prominent positions somewhere else, it's not that they need this job, they really need to want this job. It has to be something interesting and exciting, something that allows them to develop themselves personally. So finding that balance between what they bring to the table and what needs to remain, you know, constant is going to be an interesting thing to do. So let's continue with these issues. What do we have? What other challenges we need to mention to everybody else? Let me just up the ante a little bit. Is there anything broken at Iowa State University?
I guess I would like to see...
Can we do it in front of... You know, great, thank you. We're just trying to make sure that all the voices are recorded. So.
So I'm with the Study Abroad Center here on campus. Study Abroad is pretty decentralized. Mm-hmm. So there's the general Study Abroad Center that I work for, and many of the colleges have Study Abroad offices. We have no authority over the other offices, just to get you an idea of what's going on there. I guess I would like to see a top-down approach to curriculum integration, making study abroad be the cultural, be very much into the Iowa State culture, so that we increase the study abroad and actually remove a lot of the barriers to study abroad. Some of the barriers right now that are study abroad is just students not knowing when's the best time to do it. I mean, we're working, of course, in our center to do that, but if we had a president, and I've seen other presidents at different colleges that they've said, okay, study abroad is one of our priorities, and they've been able to help remove all those barriers and everything. I think having that as a priority could help us with our diversity, especially internationally, the sizing the campus as well, which is in the plan. So. Anything we can do to support that, whether it be scholarships, alumni information, or whatever, you know, or just making sure, making that the culture, as I mentioned, is really support study abroad.
So. I just want to say personally, I think that's thank you for saying that. You know, at least in the College of Design, study abroad is a big part of our agenda. So thank you for saying that. So, okay, nothing's broken.
Can I make one more comment?
Yes, please, go ahead. There's two more, two here, and then I'm going to move to the next question. So.
The issue of if anything's broken is something I think all of us are kind of wondering about. I mean, the things that we've heard about the president over the last year have not been great. I mean, the things that we've heard in the news has always been something that's gone wrong. And I think some of us probably are, I know I personally wonder if the reason that he's leaving doesn't have something to do with that. Now, I don't know. And I don't think any of us know for sure. Maybe some people do. But I think that something's broken with regards to the sense of what the president is allowed to do sometimes on the side. I think we need to deal with that. And there's another element that I think about, And that is, at the University of Iowa, we had some big problems in the last search. Mm-hmm. And the person that they came up with was people that the faculty didn't like. There was protests. There were all kinds of problems. And I guess I'd like to avoid some of these things going on. I don't know whether President Leith did anything wrong. I'm on the Faculty Senate, and I've heard him speak, and I like the way he talks. Mm-hmm. I like the things he said, and it sounds like a lot of people here are happy with him. We're happy with him, so I have no problem with that. I just don't quite understand what's going on, and I wonder if the reason that some of us are here is we want to make sure whatever went wrong doesn't go wrong again, mm-hmm. either here or at Iowa, at what happened at Iowa. So there you go.
So a couple of things in regards to these issues. It's come in a couple of meetings before. Being a president of a public institution is a very, very public position, you know, and somebody needs to know from the get-go what it implies. So that's something that has come up a couple of times. And I'm not sure if this is obviously related to the first part of your comment. Mm-hmm. The second thing is, we want to be very public about the search, so at least, everything that happens in this university, if you feel that something is steering in a direction that you don't want it to go, let me know as soon as possible. I was a little bit jokingly but very seriously telling the regents when I was doing my report last week, my standard for a successful search is that a year from now, every member of the committee needs to be willing to admit that they served in this search committee. And that actually is related to this. We want to make sure, that we we actually stand by everything that we hear now, everything that we put in front of the candidates, and how this is working out. So anyway, if there's no more comments in regards to the... Oh, yes, there was one more. Challenges. And then we'll move to the next question.
Challenges. I wanted to respond to a couple of things that were said, starting by thanking the committee for being willing to serve. Having served on such committees, I can tell you that you have a lot of work ahead of you. This is a very difficult job because you're trying to sift through tons of data and through an awful lot of marketing positioning that is going to be done by people who know what they're doing in order to get at certain things. I love your idea that we actually have somebody who has done the job before. On the other hand, I hope that it is not somebody who's going to come here to put their mark in 5 years, move on, which you are going to find, okay? There are some precedents, there are some people who are very skilled, and they will see this as a stepping stone. That's not to say that we don't want stepping stone precedents, right? If they bring us to greatness and they move on to be the president of Harvard, I guess I can live with that. On the other hand, if what you find is somebody who's going to come in here and fix a couple of things that they can put on their CV so they can move on, then that's a problem, okay? See, there aren't very many things that are horrendously broken with this university. This is a good university. This is a good institution. I can vouch for that. I've been at 5. I've watched a couple of presidential searches that failed because the overwhelming nature of defining the job and finding the right person reduced the decision process to one or two variables. I'll give you an analogy because I'm a marketing professor. This is an ongoing story that happens in real estate. You get people buying a new house. There are many variables in a new house. They get overwhelmed by the data, and they make the decision on something as inane as the tree in the backyard or the color of the kitchen counter. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? But that's exactly what happens sometimes. So my encouragement to you, the committee, as you approach this, it's good that you're asking these questions. There are things that could be better here. Issues of diversity are certainly close to my heart, right? Because really, we don't do very well in that particular area, and our state is changing so fast, and the demographics of our state are changing so fast that to meet our land-grant mission, that's something that needs to be addressed in a constructive manner. But the institution is not broken. And Madam Mayor, as much as we have our issues, town and gown, compared to other communities where I've been, this is actually pretty healthy, okay? Because I think that our institution as a community listens. It isn't just the president's problem, it's our problem. When the community's not healthy, it's our problem. But I would encourage this, okay, let's grapple with what do we need, and with a 10-year vision, let's grapple with, and trying to pierce through the positioning of the candidates that are going to come through to get at those people who are really going to come here to listen, to address the issues, to understand that everything is fixable, not a Band-Aid approach to the whole thing. My hope is that we get somebody who comes, and I'll use Michael Crow as the example at the Arizona State University. Michael Crow went to Arizona State University fully intending to do what it took to make it a great institution, and he has. But he didn't go there in a 5-year plan. How many offers for a new presidency has Michael Crow received? Oh, it must be in the dozens. He's doing the job because he believed in something. He believed in the potential greatness of that institution. And that's what I hope that we're going to get, is that kind of precedent.
He needs to come home.
You know, at this point, I'd rather have the next Michael Crow, because I know that there's somebody out there, okay? You know, there was one thing that happens, and that is there's a success. This is the and you would know this, sir. When people are successful, they get ingrained in the patterns that worked for them, and so they try to replicate the successes in other places. I don't want somebody who has been so successful that they're not going to see where Iowa State is different, because this isn't Arizona State. And so, for what it's worth, you know, and the committee, I mean, you know, you really are the ones that have to do this, and I will keep you in my prayers, because it will take divine wisdom. But that's okay. We can ask for that. We need the wisdom. Thank you.
This is a perfect opportunity to move to the next question. So in order to do this, we're beginning to talk about the qualities, the description of who that person is. So I would like to ask that question. You know, what kinds of attributes, qualities, qualifications, values, you know, does this person need to have? What do we need to look for as we begin to sift through all the information we're going to receive from them? So who wants to begin? And small, simple things are okay, you know. If you're here, you know, I think you want to be heard, so. So key words that I need to use. Leadership, for example. What kind of leadership are we looking for? Is this somebody that needs to be all the way out, all the time out in the news, or is somebody that is more back in the institution?
I think you need a strong leader.
Okay, sorry. And maybe I should move the microphone around. If you want to move it around, that'll be perfectly fine. The only important thing is that microphone warranties that we capture clearly what the comment is. So,
all right. I was going to say, I guess my idea of a leadership skills is someone who's willing to make some tough decisions that may not always be popular, but also as a servant leader who serves, you know, he leads by example.
Mm-hmm.
I would just add to that transparency, mm-hmm. and openness. You know, I don't know if open door policy works for a university president, but as much as possible. So that people, students in particular, faculty, staff, feel comfortable approaching somebody, I guess, who's accessible, and the transparency that goes along with that.
Great. What other things? Back there.
So you kind of probed my mind with this question, you know, should he be more public or more private, more reserved? And I think should the president, the next president, be more private or reserved? And I think, or more public. And I think really having that public eye, you know, somebody that when they become the president, that, well, everyone knows who that person is and is even more proactive. And I can think of a number of times where the previous president I felt like as students, we kind of had to push him to respond to a lot of issues that were going around affecting particular sections of the students. And I think even there were several campus incidents where it felt like there was a lot of reaction rather than taking things into hand before things happen. And I can particularly, you know, a lot of students will think about Visha, right, where there was a lot of, oh, we're going to cancel Visha and that's going to be the end of that. Now, I have thoughts about Visha, but I think really it's just a matter of kind of fixing that rather than after something happens, say, okay, we're not going to have Visha anymore, but rather just take it more ahead of time and just say, this is the behavior that should happen and how can we assess that? And that goes along with kind of the climate that has been affecting students of color, I can think of specifically, even when it comes to policies that affect our international students. I think there should be more assurance that things are going to get done and not things are going to be answered to later. But yeah, and I think really just someone who's more willing to be in the public eye and really just let students know what their capabilities are and what they can do specifically when it comes to certain issues. Even if they can't do anything about it, just tell them that this is who's in charge and this is what I can do to make sure that that happens. And even then, just this is what I will do rather, not what I can do, but what I will do. And I think there's a good sense of honesty and believableness to that, because you can tell if somebody's just directly just talking out just to get rid of people, or if there's somebody who's really just talking because they know they will do it, someone who you will believe that they will do that. So,
credibility. Over there. Let's pass it over there.
Management style that delegates responsibility and not micromanage.
What else?
Well, I think we have a lot of hard conversations that need to happen on campus and throughout the United States in general. And I'd just like to see our next leader help us maneuver through those tough conversations that we all need to have with each other. A leader with high emotional intelligence, I think somebody that, you know, service above self, that's really, really important. This campus, the students that go here, I mean, they are all about that. They really are about making Iowa State a great place to be here and get an education and live. And I really want to see our next leader be very close to our students and close to faculty and close to staff and really listen to what folks have to say, and not just listen, but actually hear what people have to say.
Mm-hmm. What else? So, any other attributes, qualities that we're looking for in this person? So how about qualifications? Anybody has an opinion? Okay.
Should I just hand it to someone?
Yeah, let's do it by lottery.
Yeah.
Can I just?
Yes, go ahead.
I know higher ed is trending the other way, but I'm a traditionalist, and I think this person needs to be a tenured faculty member in the academy. To keep the faculty quiet and comfortable.
Oops.
I will give you an affirmation for that argument. And that is, yeah, I will affirm that. and I will give a different rationale. I think that society's compact with higher education has shifted a little bit here, and we need leadership at a university that understands university. Okay, university is not an accident, and it is not traditional corporate America, and I've worked in it, so I understand that too, that we need leadership that understands the academy, that understands the inherent dynamic and conflict and conversational argument that happens in academia, and is able to understand that and sustain it at the same time that then it deals with the externalities. I think that choosing somebody who can deal only with donors and with political interests and stuff like that, as important as that is, but that does not inherently understand university, is the type of leader that ultimately neglects university. Mm-hmm. And so we need somebody that understands us. And that's, you know, I'm sure that there's some genius that can understand us, even though they've never been one of us. I haven't met that person yet, but I'm sure there is. Okay, now on the other hand, I don't want an academician that is so crazy about an academy that doesn't understand that there's a real world out there.
You want to see academic record.
I want to see an academic record. I want to see somebody who actually understands what we do and has done it. Okay, just because when the issues come up, they get it. They understand faculty. Okay, so we have a conflict. All right, there's a way. If they don't preserve the values of the academy and compromise them, then I think that's a big concern.
I think as we talk about qualifications and what we look for in a president, knowing that most presidents come from an academic affairs side of things, but as someone who works in student affairs, wanting to see how they work collaboratively within the different divisions that they've been under. And so are they working with academic affairs? Are they working with enrollment management? Just to make sure that they really understand the work that's done in different sectors of the university. And as we talk about our enrollment increasing and how that affects not just the faculty and the students, but also the support and the resources that go into making sure that we get our students in the door and out in graduation and whatever they define as success. A president doesn't necessarily have to have been student affairs, but they have to understand the work that we do, because that's a major component of us fulfilling this land-grant mission and making sure that we are in the top rankings, that we are an institution where people see themselves reflected and want to go. And I think that also shows the value that you have in the individuals who are doing the work. I think we often, of course, students are important because that's why we're here. But if you're not retaining faculty and staff, then that is also indicative of how the institution is going to grow. So I would really want to see someone who can demonstrate how they've worked collaboratively within different divisions.
Great.
Can I respond to that?
Yes, go ahead. This is a public forum.
I'm on the search committee, and my name is Brad Schrader. What's your name?
Nancy.
Nancy. Okay, thank you. That's a great question. I think that was one of the first inputs we received, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would also say that we are in the process of hiring new associate provosts, assistant provosts, mm-hmm. Because of a retirement, and we're splitting a provost job into provost in charge of graduate programs and in charge of undergraduate or student programs. So your input should also be given during those search process. I hope you're planning on that. That would be important to get your input. And I want you to know that we are considering that. That was one of the very first things that came up. I just wanted to add that.
Great point. There was a hand right there. Yeah. No, you. Sure. Yes, thank you.
I think kind of on a bigger, broader spectrum, I think there should be some sort of, I don't know how you would measure it, but some sort of record about working on a worldwide kind of scale, whether, you know, that can be as simple as a study abroad, which is a small-scale kind of thing. But I think even a capability of working with multiple cultures kind of becoming a, or turning Iowa State University into a world worldwide name would be very ideal in terms of all the things that we try to accomplish as a university. And even kind of on that scale, I think some proficiency with languages. So if they're multilingual, that would be amazing so that that's something that's very lacking, I feel, in upper administration. And so that would be great to kind of have a president who can lead in that regard as well. But definitely the worldwide perspective, the worldwide name recognition that they can bring to Iowa State University.
Great. Thank you.
as you were talking about, it's got to be academia or whatever. I think someone that has a varied background that has worked perhaps in industry and as well as in academia could serve us well, because I think if the president understood our, what the environment that most of our students are going in, going to be going into, as well as the educational environment, it's been a mix. I mean, that's somewhat of my background. Like you, I've served both in private and in educational, and it really does help me when I advise students to say, well, this is what it's like in private life or whatever the opportunity is there. So I think if you're having a president that has both that private, corporate, and the academia would be very welcome and helpful.
My biggest problem with the donor issue, I mean, you want somebody who can raise money, but I'm very concerned that we get somebody who understands that where you get the money is important, and how you, if you take money from people who we don't necessarily agree with or are not on our, I think integrity is an issue here. You know, if we fund a stadium or anything like that with money from people who are a little bit less than what we think we would like to stand for, then that says a lot about our university, and I think the president needs to be open to understanding that. That's opinion. Again, that's my opinion.
At the same time, with declining state revenues, philanthropic dollars has to be at the top of the list of the new president. We have no other choices.
And I think the two comments are not...
What kind of philanthropic dollars are we getting is important. Where the money comes from says a lot about what we believe in. And so I think we need to be careful about this. I mean, there's philanthropic and then there's philanthropic.
Yeah, I was going to say that the two comments, I don't feel they're very far. I mean, there is a concern for the long-term stability of the institution, and we've seen in other institutions that have not been careful about where the dollars come from, that suddenly becomes a problem. And I don't know, maybe you, John, can talk about this, but there's actually committees in the foundation that will actually look at this issue, because we don't want to be in a situation where we're ashamed of something in the future. So it definitely needs to...
Those dollars are highly scrutinized at the foundation.
Yeah.
So I'll stay on the money track. So the new president has to value the research that goes on here at Iowa State. It's incredible. I work in the grants hub, and I have the privilege of seeing a lot of the proposals that are put in for research dollars here. Someone that values the research that goes on here and the support systems that are needed to do all of those things too.
More things? And it is okay to say something that may be a little bit more subjective. You want to get, you know, sometimes we talk about values, things can be a little bit subjective, but, this is an open forum. Whatever you want to talk about this, it will inform the search. Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt.
So. No, that's all right. So one thing I've always valued about higher education is that, one, we can have forums like this where we can kind of openly express, you know, issues around ethical investments and things like that. And so I'm looking for a leader who has those qualities, who appreciates the, I guess, creativity, but also kind of pushing the envelope of higher education, where open forums, you don't have to kind of censor yourself or say, I can't do that because I might lose my job the next day or get kicked out of school, but opportunities to really express. And that's kind of what we're here for, is to be able to, you know, push things. So I know there's a big movement around the country around divestiture. So public institutions, or any institutions for that matter, of divesting some of their retirement benefits or that from fossil fuel investments. And that's really catching on and kind of getting legs from different forum that I'm involved with. So it would be really interesting to have a conversation on campus about, you know, kind of picking up on this, the fundraising and all of that around, well, where is our TIA CREF, you know, investing in terms of fossil fuel and looking at climate change and carbon footprints. So somebody who, I guess what I'm trying to say is a leader who appreciates that type of dialogue and openness in a higher education setting.
What else? You know, I already went in record. I will be surprised if any of you heard the recording of the first session of the search committee. But one of the things that I mentioned there is that this is a challenge, a very different challenge than many other searches, you know. We're not looking for a, this is not a search for a professor, you know. I mean, it's somebody that understands how to create amazing opportunities for students, but the criteria is not the same that we were just evaluating, like we all do in our departments, you know, another professor in your department. It's also, we're not looking for a research partner. We want somebody that understands, you know, what the value of research, as you were saying. In fact, you know, understand how to nurture the careers of the faculty, but it's not the same kind of standard, you know. Then you put these two together, this is a $1.5 billion enterprise, Iowa State, every year. So, again, somebody needs to understand the business component of it, but as you rightly said, you know, it is not a very common profile. It's not a CEO of a company, the one that we're looking for. It's something that is a combination of the three, and that's what I think in my mind makes the work of the search committee very interesting, very complicated, you know, but very interesting, interesting also. So, I can move to the final question. We still have a little bit of time, and hopefully you can stay here for the final stretch. I really want to be able to tell all the candidates why they should come here. You know, if you can help me put together that story, you know, why Iowa, why Iowa State, why the Midwest, can you help me put together something like that? You know, what will you tell somebody that is applying for this job? And maybe you'll have a chance to do that because I may call on you to help me host a few of these people. So, so what's the story here?
A few times I've heard pieces that indicate a want for a family, a person with a family. It really drives me crazy when Iowa State does that because I think we're really shutting ourselves off from having more creative searches or having more different types of people come to Iowa State. So while Ames is a great place to raise a family, we don't necessarily need a president with a family to come here. So as we're developing what we're putting out there for the nation to see, I would encourage us to maybe check some of our assumptions as we write it up.
So, and you may not have an answer to this, but you're absolutely right. I think we all know what I will tell somebody that has a family. This is a great place to raise a family. But what about somebody that does not fit that profile? What will you present to that person?
You always make me come up with a solution.
Always find a solution.
I will think on it and get back to you before
okay.
I go.
So who else? John.
I would tell the candidates that one of the state's strongest assets are the people. And when you invest in people, that's one of the strongest things you can invest in. And secondly, I would emphasize to the candidates that this university's position going forward to solve a lot of the world's problems in regards to how do we field 9 billion people by 2050? You know, what are we going to do about climate change? What are we going to do about sustainable agriculture and energy? And this university is very well positioned to solve a lot of those problems, and they could be part of that trip.
I'll talk about it based on the community, what I think the community has to offer, and I do this somewhat just based on I've had a number of guests, both international and from big cities lately, who marvel at the fact that you can come to Ames, walk from my house to hear the New York Philharmonic, have your friends from the other side of town drive in 5 minutes to come see you, have schools where your children can walk. So I think we've got a lot of the amenities that a big city has, but we are a community of 60,000 people and the things that that offers as well.
What else? Who else wants to add to this list of things? Well, you know, as you think about doing this, and please let's pass the microphone. I will say I'm not sure if people understand. You know, I lived in several communities. The level of access, the ease in which we can actually speak with people in the university, faculty, staff, students, administrators, and then move and, you know, have the mayor of the city speaking here or do a forum in, you know, Des Moines and have, you know, high-ranking members of the government or the business world attend those meetings. The investment that the community has in this institution is very special. It's not something you see in many places around the country, and I think that's something we need to present, just to emphasize, you know, some of the things that have been said before. So, okay, microphone was coming in this direction.
I would hope that this is already on your list, but this state is in a relatively good fiscal position considering others. I mean, not to say that we're the wealthiest, but we're not Illinois or Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Or Ohio, or Kentucky, or Tennessee,
Kansas,
or Missouri. These are all our neighbors, and they are, you know, this is also a state in which historically there has been a willingness to be thoughtful in the population, you know, this, you know, at least thoughtfully engage in issues. I think that there's a culture in Iowa that's a little different. I lived in Wyoming. I can tell you that it's a little different here in terms of thoughtfulness. And the third one is, in my opinion at least, that as it pertains to resources, the huge alumni body of this institution is relatively untapped for engagement, not just financial, but also contributory engagement, mm-hmm, relative to other institutions, even within our own state. Because we haven't had a land-grant institutions tend to underplay the whole notion of give forward, right? But we now the time is now, and I think that's something that if you're coming to an institution where that remains as a relatively untapped or marginally tapped resource that then you can use to build engagement, build community, facilitate financial resources. I think that's a nice thing to have.
Good point.
I hope candidates see this as a positive. We have a very engaged faculty, staff, and student body who want to be heard, who want to be a part of changes, of progress, not just progress. And I would hope a candidate would find that appealing. And have some experience with that.
And that builds on your comment. I mean, the idea of not being afraid of the engagement, you know, actually to be proactive and seek it and use it as a way of finding strength, I guess, you know, for the decisions you're making. So, what else? There's still people that has not said anything. I'm keeping a tab here now. Okay, over.
Sophia McGill, and I'm speaking as an alum, a former student, a community member, and then also a member of the Office of the President as far as staff. So I would say I hope that whoever comes will come because we want them to come, and they recognize that. You know, when I think about all the different search committees I've been a part of or opportunities, I think genuinely Iowa State University wants people to come here and wants people to share in the special, unique opportunity that we call Iowa State University. So I hope that individual realizes that and recognizes that we genuinely want them to be here. We look forward to them to being part of our community and embracing that and knowing that we're all in this together. And they also have a really great staff to work with.
Great.
To work with them.
I know that. More things. You know, I'm going to be a little bit off track for a second because you just said something. All of these comments just remind me of one thing. We've been talking about this person as coming from somewhere else, somewhere far, far away. Are we closing the door to people that is already in the community? No. So let's go on record. No? Okay.
You want the job?
No. Hey, I'm already chairing the committee, so I think that that will not play well for me in my application afterwards. It still has to meet all the other things that we talked about, you know, but we're talking that it is possible for somebody internal to achieve this. Okay. Just wanted to make sure. What other comments? We have 15 minutes. Okay. So let me ask a couple of things of the people that not everything has to be said in front of a microphone. There is an email address, presidentsearch@iastate.edu, where you can actually send your comments, and those will be forwarded to the rest of the committee and to the search firm, and they will be part of what we're trying to do. The second thing that I will say is the website, presidentsearch.iastate.edu, is live, and I know that every time there is press releases and schedules and activities related to the search committee, they're posted there. They're doing a good job in keeping it, you know, very up to date. So please go there, and again, you're going to find links there to submit comments, and in the near future, not yet, you know, to probably submit also nominations for the job. So I'm going to finish with a couple of things. I want to tell you more or less what's going to happen in the next 2 weeks. Oh, sorry, there is a question.
About the website. So I was one of the geeks that listened to the search committee meeting. So are you going to continue to put all the open meetings?
Yes.
So
at the end of today, we're going to get a digital file that is the recording of this. We're going to pass this to the Board of Regents, and they're going to send it to somebody in communication at the university, and that's going to be available through the website. So. Yes. Yeah. In the next couple of weeks, up until next Monday, for example, if you have comments, something that you forgot to say today, something you want to say, please try to do it before next Monday. The reason I'm saying this, and that is going to be the 19th, I think. After that, we're going to take another week working with the search firm. They're going to present a draft to the search committee of a summary of all the things that we're hearing. That is going to be the position description and the collaterals, the material that we want to present to candidates in the future. We're going to submit comments, and hopefully we will be very soon publishing the position in many different places. And let me just talk a little bit about that. After the 19, give us around a week, the search firms knows already people around the country that they think could do this job. So they're going to bring those names forward. At the same time, we're going to publish this in different outlets, digital and printed, that the list that I've seen, and I'm not going to try to go through the names because I'm going to forget, but they're really emphasizing diversity of disciplines and cultural diversity. So hopefully some applications will come through those venues, and it will be the work of the committee to make sure that they meet the qualifications, all the things that you mentioned, you know, that we want to see in that person. But in my experience, probably the most powerful way of getting great candidates is through the network of people in this university. We all know, you know, great faculty, great students, great staff that are recognized, you know, worldwide or nationwide. We know of the Iowa State people out there. Well, the opposite is also true. You all know great people in other institutions, in other walks of life, that you may think that can do the work. So don't, I mean, please bring those names forward. You know, it's going to be very important for us to build that very big pool of viable candidates at the beginning. So just to then give you a quick summary, what's going to happen afterwards, we are going to take, after that, around 2 months. That is to go until September 12th. I think I'm saying this by memory. You can go to the website and see the schedule. There's going to be a session there that is going to be a marathon. We're going to, after studying previous to that, the CVs and the documents presented by the candidates, we're going to try to narrow that to around 12, plus minus, I will say, you know, two or three. of viable candidates that we will want to speak with face-to-face, the committee. Then we're going to take a couple of weeks after that to bring them to a neutral location to have a conversation with the search committee. That will give us a different kind of impression. And then based on that, we're going to narrow it to basically, I will say, between 3 and 5 candidates that we will invite for public presentations in campus. At that point, I'm going to ask many of you to help in many different capacities. I mean, the most general one is please come to the public presentations at the end. Please send comments after the public presentations because that's going to be critical for us. In some other cases, I want to ask you to help us present what the opportunity is. So we're going to be giving tours, showing different areas of strength, and your help in facilitating those activities is going to be very important. So please help as much as possible. Our goal, I said, is very aggressive. By the end of October, we want to have an announcement. And if we accomplish that, I think then I'll be ready to sleep for a full weekend, I guess. You know? So. You know, I will say that, let me just check my dates. We develop it, right here. We're going to place the ads around July 6th. The idea is that by around September 12th, we'll begin to evaluate the applications. We always put in the ad, you know, what is the sentence that they put? For full consideration by a particular date. If somebody comes in the borderline, you know, closer to the 12th, and we feel that he's a really good candidate, probably we will still consider. I think after the 12th will be really hard to consider anybody else coming after that date. Yeah.
My question was with names of people submitting applications will not be made public until you have a list of finalists.
Yes. And I know that this is a question that comes all the time, you know, in searches in places like this. Again, everybody said, several times you said, it will be great if a sitting president will apply for the job. So that sitting president, if it is goes into a public website somewhere, the next 5 minutes after the application, we'll have to face questions from the entire population of that institution of why is you know, applying for another job. And at the beginning, you know, frankly, I think it is a matter of getting to know. It's like a first date in a way. You know, that idea at the beginning is to get to know each other before you know if it is a serious, there is a potential for a serious relationship. Let's just put it that way. So we want to keep it confidential through that phase. And that will guarantee that we get a lot of people that is qualified for the job. There is at some point, I think the committee has talked about this, they'll have to make a decision. You know, nothing is granted to the until the very end. But I think for those final 3 to 5, they will have to decide if they want to go public with their intention of coming here. They will have to interact with a lot of people here in the university, and that is something we're not going to keep confidential. But up to that point, you know, we'll do our best. By Regents' regulations, I think you know really we everybody that. That ask us for confidentiality, we have to grant it. That is part of the, I don't know what is the legal term, you know, but we'll have to maintain it. I do have to tell you, all the members of the committee signed forms, you know, swearing to confidentiality, you know, and at the end, it's only at the very end where this is going to be public. So, any questions? Well, I do have to say, this went a lot better than what I expected my first time running one of these things. I think in the next one we're going to have the search firm. I will then tell you if I did better or if they did better. So, no. Thank you for coming. And if you have more comments, you know, you can always use the email address or approach me also if you want. Thank you.